Of Winter Park's regular scheduled meeting. If you all please remember to turn off your cell phones, that would be helpful. We're going to have Reverend Harity of the St. Richard's Episcopal Church lead us in an invocation. If you would remain standing for the pledge, we would appreciate it.
In the words of the prophet Amos, let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-rolling stream. Let us pray. Ultimate grace, the heart of every matter, you are in the purpose of this gathering. As the Winter Park City Commission deals with issues and items for today and all of our tomorrows, be with the mayor, commissioners, and people of Winter Park who make decisions for the goodwill of all. We long to go hand in hand, creating a world where everyone belongs. We ask you to free us from hindrances, make visible things that are invisible, let the voiceless be heard, and what is confusing, help us to clarify. Remind us that any question counts, and with grace all things are possible. May this one moment, this one meeting, count. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Allison. We appreciate everything in the community. Randy, do we have any changes to the agenda? Actually, you know what? I'm going to offer one quick change, and that's I'd like to discuss under my report a possible resolution against the racetrack proposal that is being heard at the Orlando County Commission that looks to go on a Cimarron. So we can discuss that in a little bit more detail, but that's the only change that I got, Randy.
I have no other changes, sir.
Okay, great. With that, we'll look for a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Great. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Let's start out with the presentation. Mr. Pugh, I think you're going to lead us off.
Wow. Yeah. Good afternoon, Mayor Larry and commissioners.
Good afternoon.
Once again, we're very proud to be here. You are an integral part of our success, and we are here not only to thank you, but to give you an update and letting you know how we're doing, and we'll tell you a little bit. It's going to be spectacular. We have a lot of our staff people here and some of our board people, so we thank you, and this is Kathy Ramsburg.
Thank you.
Mayor and City Council members, we're happy to be here today, along with, like Jim had mentioned, some of our board members and some of our donors and members of the Arts Center, as well as our colleagues, and hopefully all of you that have had a chance to actually visit the Dr. Phillips Center for the Performing Arts. We just thought it would be wonderful if we came back and shared some news on your investment to the center and give you an update of where we are. So we actually just request this informational only, and we'd love to answer any questions too if you have them at the end of the presentation. I'm going to give you a quick overview, but I'll give you a quick video and then a presentation, and then our CFO, Cecilia Kelly, is going to join me, and then I'll come back and I'll wrap it up, and then we'll ask some questions at that point in time. So let's start with our year in review.
Thank you.
That's just a quick glimpse of some of our numbers and just the activity we've had at the Arts Center. If you remember, probably the first time I came to the council to have a conversation about the Arts Center, we probably didn't have an illustration of what the building looked like, because a lot of us, the building was not really the critical piece here. What was the most critical?
Yeah, would you hold on for one second?
Sure.
Patrick, do you need to get this back up, or are we looking for lighting?
There's, well, that's good. Okay.
Just want to make sure we can see you.
Okay, thank you. So the, again, it not being about the building, what are we really trying to achieve by putting a performing arts center in Central Florida? It's always really about the purpose and the community outreach. And we wanted to be a very relevant place through the work that we do. So what we're going to show you now is not only did we have a great business year, we also had a really great year in terms of our mission to the community, and a lot of that has to do with not only the fact that you gave to a capital gift, but many of the people that live in Winter Park not only attend performances, but they support us through membership as well as donors so we can do the work that we need to do and what we want to do. So this is our best year yet. As you know, we opened in 2014, so this is our third full year of operations. Let's see. So we have a staff of about 93 and full-time staff, 112 part-time and a total of 205. That's just the engine that makes the center run. We have a lot of partners that are also helping us operate the building. We reached about 225,000 students through many programs, which I'll let you see a little bit later. But in the video, you actually saw a lot of the initiatives. One initiative that we just started this year, something called Sixth and Jazz, where we're actually putting curriculum in every Orange County and Osceola County school system so they can learn the relevance of jazz, and in this particular case, jazz and the civil rights movement. I hope that's not my phone. And this year we had 600,000 people actually attend the Arts Center for performances and other events. And we had a great year in revenue, of which you'll see when Cecilia joins us. We did 346 shows, and just to give an idea, when we came and talked about the activity years ago, our agreement with the City of Orlando, and this was based on what other art centers actually do, the total number of shows was earmarked and benchmarked at 180. And so what we're doing is we've got this great asset, and how do we keep it full 100% of the time? We also operate the Bob Carr, so we have the Bob Carr and then the venues at the Dr. Phillips. And we also spent a great deal of time listening to what people wanted in terms of types of performances. We didn't want to be a performing arts center that just had maybe classical music and artistic initiatives. So what we're finding, and we did a lot of listening and a lot of surveying, comedy is probably one of our leading requests, and probably the most attended, which is great. You know, people, we still want to laugh. And one-night concerts have been really important to us, too, as an outreach, every different type of concert. We've been doing a lot of lectures and bringing in speakers, and again, very, very small to very, very large. And so we've had cooking speakers, we do TED Talks there, we do a lot of different types of lectures, a lot of family and multicultural as well. We also did something that's pretty unique. We were never intended to be a center where we just bring shows in externally or have external, even local groups come and work. The goal is how do we have our own centers of excellence and generate our own content. And we actually had been working with Jazz at Lincoln Center for years and years, even before we opened the center. And the reason why we chose to have a conversation with Jazz at Lincoln Center is because jazz is America's music. And it actually inspired every different type of music, from rock and roll, hip-hop, swing, R&B, all of it. And we thought, what a great type of music genre that can cross over and maybe identify with new students as well as people that grew up with jazz. So to launch an orchestra was a pretty hefty endeavor, and we actually have some donors that gave us the courage, just with the support, to start it. We did a national search for an artistic director, and we're very grateful to hire a gentleman named Rodney Whitaker, who happens to be, he teaches at the Michigan State University, but he also is part of the Wynton Marsalis Orchestra in New York City. Did a national call for artists, had over 120 musicians come in from around the country and audition, and now we have a wonderful jazz orchestra with about 19 artists, and some of them actually are from here, but they're at the Juilliard, and they're in at NYU learning their trades. They're also performing this weekend, so if you have an interest and you'd like to come and see them, we'd love to have you. So creating our own content also means that we want to support a lot of community work and help them create their own content. What you're seeing here is we did 250 different types of productions. We do a huge mass of productions. What you're seeing on the slide here is we actually funded for Bethune-Cookman to come into the Art Center and do a free concert at Christmas time. And it was fantastic, of course, because they're world-renowned. And we support them not only by guiding them to learn to be in the building and understanding how to take a community production into a professional facility, but we support them with marketing initiatives, operational initiatives, and then production initiatives. And we're also trying to make sure that we hit all audiences. Our vision for the Arts Center is Arts for Every Life, which is what we talked about before the building opened. This just gives you an idea of the amount of local community groups that we are working with to be in the center and to be in that environment. It's a big undertaking, but it actually is it's really one of our core centers of excellence. So our partnership, and I just wanted to remind you how and what kind of business we are. We did a lot of work early on of, you know, how is this art center going to be built? How is it going to be designed and funded? What's it going to do? And then how is it going to live? And there's about 35 centers of this size worldwide, and we're one of those. The centers that we are very similar to are Lincoln Center, Kennedy Center, Playhouse Square, LA Music Center, Sydney Opera House, National Theatre of Canada, Pittsburgh Cultural Trust, the Kimmel Center, Kravitz Center. So they're not many. And they're operated all a little bit differently, but the one model that we chose to is we wanted to be a private business, and we operate like a private business, but we're also 501c3, and where the idea here is, can the community support this venue where we can make the right decisions on behalf of the mission, but also be able to raise funds to have that as a tax deduction for donors, and then implement at risk what happens in the Arts Center. So we're actually partners with the City of Orlando. We have an agreement with the city to operate the building at the time, 99 years, so we've got a few years into that. But our board of directors is 100% at risk to operate the building. We do not want to depend on public money, with the exceptions of some grants that we can apply for that those institutions actually want to support by choice, these types of initiatives. And so our board of directors, which I have to say, we've got Ed Timberlake that's been on our board for probably over close to a decade, and I think Chuck is probably over a decade, and Jim is 15 years. So, and they've taken that responsibility on to make sure that we implement the mission and hold us accountable, but also run it very, very aggressively like a revenue-driven business, both earned and contributed.
Okay, question.
The City of Orlando actually owns the land in the building. Our business actually acquired a piece of property from a church, which I'm certain that you've heard that's not the easiest thing to accomplish, but we did it. And then what we did is we did a land swap so the Art Center could actually sit on public land, and then we did the swap with the City of Orlando. Today we've contributed to capital $151 million, which is pretty significant. We're one of the largest organizations to donate this much money to a public venue, and always with great determination to make sure what's delivered is what we promised you and promised all the other donors. This is the sources of what compiles 151 in capital. You see the 170 million there. For the first several years, we weren't earning any revenue. And it took about, 11, 12 years to get the center open. But the feasibility and a lot of the soft costs are in that number as well. So the contribution to capital is 151, but in philanthropy we've needed to raise more, not only to sustain, have a fund protecting any questions that we might have or discoveries when we open the building, but also just get us to a point in time where we can have a little bit of a cushion. So you can see the partners here. TDT is 190, is 207. That has increased because the TDT is the source that actually was delayed, where we were then in a position to have to take the building apart and then kind of put it back together in phases. That was a significant cost to the project. Before that happened, the project was $454 million. The project now is $604 million. So just that cost and that delay was pretty significant. You see our contribution. The city of Orlando is $198 million. That includes land and infrastructure costs. The state, we have $29 million. One large portion of that was put in place years and years and years ago when Mayor Dyer was actually a senator, and that was to envision a performing arts center downtown. Our very critical and important piece, the City of Winter Park, your $1 million contribution was really not only a sign of confidence, but an appreciation that these civic venues do cross city lines and county lines, and we're really, really grateful for that. And then $17 million in interest, which we can, Cecilia can discuss. So just quickly before Cecilia comes up, we actually had a profit this year of $327,000, 183% ahead of where we thought we'd be for the year. And contributions for phase two, we raised $18 million last year. So the 183 in favor, it's all driven by content. And the more content we can fill in the building and have the building lit and lively as much as possible is the reason why you see that number. And we were very cautious going into it simply because who knew who was going to come. And so now we're kind of growing into our building and growing into our colleagues and our staff and understanding our markets a little bit better so we can plan better and be more aggressive. With that, I'm going to turn over to Cecilia.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having us here. Actually, just wanted to touch real quickly that $327,000 compares to a favorability of 183% over last year. And what Kathy was speaking to is that that's our unrestricted program and operating result. In addition to that, we're still in a capital campaign, and we recognized $18 million last fiscal year for our phase two construction. And you know we broke ground on that in March of this past 2017. One important component of how we analyze ourselves and really how all performing arts centers and nonprofits are looking at earned income versus contributed income. When we started this back in, actually before 2007, but 2007 is really when the agreements got inked, the expectation was that we'd be a 60% earned activities with 40% of our total being contributions. We've had, since 2007, you know, the economy has gone through a lot of variations. We've also made some changes in once we started operating, how we do our operating agreements so that we can realize more so that we can then end up doing more for the community and our mission. So for the 3 years ended June 30, 2017, our fiscal year, our three-year average is 85% earned versus 15% contributed. For the fiscal year ended June 30, 2017, our total earned revenue is $30.4 million. That is in excess of last year's by 42%. As Kathy mentioned, content is what drives everything in our building. We did have significantly more activities and shows in our building in fiscal 17 versus the prior year. Setting the bar high, which you know we're working on each year. Of that 30.4%, that's composed of presenting revenue, we have concession revenue, event rentals and banquets, School of the Arts, and there's some other ancillary parking, valet parking, merchandise commissions. 87% of our total earned revenue is presenting. So that is our core business and it's expected, but that's, you can see how that's really where we spend a good bit of our time. This is a snapshot of our total P&L, very summarized. But the earned revenue is $30.4 million, as I just discussed. An additional contributed revenue is $4.5 million. We do receive annual city support for maintenance only on the building. We can only use it for routine maintenance. Leaving us a total revenue of $35.5 for the year. Our presenting expenses are $19.1 million. Other operating is $16 million with a total expenses of $35,177,000, leaving us a net operating result of $326,000 that you saw. bringing in the $18 million of the phase two contributions leaves us a change in net assets of 18.2. As I mentioned, our total operating cost is $35 million. As you know, the City of Orlando does own the property that we sit on. The annual cost of maintenance, routine maintenance, is about $4.8 million. The center covers $4.4 million of that, $4.37 million actually. And so that is, we derive that from our activities, our presenting activities, other earned revenue activities, and our contributions. So the center does cover the bulk of the just maintaining the building. In addition, we get the $530,000 from the City of Orlando to cover their asset. This, I think, is my last slide, but in addition to the $151 million that we mentioned that we contributed to the construction, design and construction, and the pre-opening, to date, we have made expenditures for building improvements and capital improvements of $4.4 million. Some of that is during construction, things are value engineered out, or once we start operating, you realize we might want to invest to operate the building a little bit more efficiently. In addition to the annual maintenance that the city provides us, we are receiving in a trust $1 million annually from the city, and that's in accordance with our City of Orlando agreement. That's accumulating for a long-term capital repair or capital replacement. I think that's it for my slides. Thank you.
Thank you.
So our mission and our community support, the more that we earn, obviously that can go to take care of the asset, but the more that we can raise from philanthropy can go towards what we're really trying to achieve. And that's what we said, that we would really focus on education. And at the time we said 2 to 102. I think you saw that in the video, but our oldest student's actually 104. Her name's Jinjin, and she participates in dance classes that we actually have. And so we've been able to really kind of track exactly what where these contributions are going. We actually underwrite all those community groups, as well as our Orlando Ballet and Philharmonic and other organizations, up to $750,000 a year, reducing their rental rates. And when we did the original business model, the average rental rate for nonprofits and resident groups across the country and the state of Florida is where we've based that on. We are hopefully in about 8 years or so, they'll get to the average. So we're still underwriting the local arts organizations more than the original agreement intended to, but we want to give them the chance to get their businesses aligned. Event rental support. We have a lot of event space in the Dr. Phillips Center. We always mention that if we could get families and businesses into the center, and not really those that are accustomed to buying a ticket or coming, once they cross that threshold, maybe they'll think, I'll come back for a show. So we also wanted to create these places for humanity to gather in important spaces. So event rental is something that we do, which you saw as an earned income, but we also have helped organizations be in the venue to actually raise their own money or raise awareness in the center as well. We offset the Cenef Arts Plaza. It's a great front yard for us. It's a difficult center to operate because of just where it is right now, and half of it's partially used for construction, and it's eventually there'll be some development on there. But we like to do things for free and for the people, and so we did about $100,000 worth of support there. This past Christmas, we did a partnership with Rollins College in Full Sail, and again, it was a completely free event, and the three of us partnered, and it was well attended, and it's going to be an annual event there. So that's something that we actually invest in. Community engagement is $450,000. That's everything from outreach initiatives. We do about $300,000 in student and veteran rush tickets. And then this is education and scholarship programs. $800,000 we do for outreach and giving reduced initiatives. We go into the school very, very often with a number of programs. If you're interested in the list, there's lots of them. We have something that we call the Applause Awards, where we actually have a group of volunteers that go to every high school musical 50 of them in about 35 schools in 7 counties, and then we produce our own Tony Awards. All these kids come in, and we actually, they receive scholarships. Then we take 2 kids, and we take them to New York for a 10-day intensive. They've gotten there amongst 50,000 other kids across the country. About 74 actually end up participating. And then in New York City in the Minkoff Theater on Broadway with almost every casting director, choreographer, director, they produce a show. And 2 kids win at the very end, are selected as the best female and male artist. And just in our 3rd year, for the first time in the history of the awards, 2 students won from the same community, and it was the Dr. Phillips Center. So they won great scholarships. They participate in programs all year long in our school. And I think our school is a little gem. And it's a small space with big heart. It goes everywhere, as I mentioned, with Six and Jazz and the other initiatives that we do. We also have something, we have teen ambassadors. I'm mentioning these because a lot of kids in Winter Park are part of this. Teen ambassadors are just—they're just teenagers that are our voice, and we teach them about the Art Center, the business of the Art Center. We let them participate in shows. They help us with social media. They connect us, and they have the chance to really experience being the true ambassadors at that age group. And then professional services, like I mentioned before, we do a lot of work not only with the local arts organizations, but we support smaller businesses that don't really have the infrastructure that we have. That's about 300,000, 3 million is what that was this year. You know, education is really key for us. We're trying as much as we possibly can to get out into the community. Our school is named Florida Hospital. They gave us a capital gift, but we're also working with them on an assessment to clinically study Do the Arts Matter? And so really looking at a long-term initiative with Florida Hospital and what does that mean and how do you study it? We are down to 3 areas of focus. The first one, which is the priority, is aging populations, Alzheimer's, and caregiving, and then autism, and then kids at risk. And so what we do is we'll provide the programming, and they're providing the clinicians, and we have physicians. And the goal is to just get this started. We're the only partnership like that in the world. We did the assessment to see if anybody's doing it, to see if we could go after what they're going after, and no one is. And so it's interesting that we have the chance to start a new curriculum with a hospital. We have Disney musicals in schools. 250 kids participate in this. We go into 5 different Title I schools, and we produce an entire musical with their school. And we help them everything from casting to set writing to all aspects of participation. And then these kids that could never do this before in their school, one because of resources, have the ability to put on a play. And then we bring them all to the center after they do them in their school. And they get these 5 kids, 5 schools get together, and they do a production in the Dr. Phillips Center. It's remarkable. It's a tearjerker, actually. Six and Jazz, I mentioned. Docs and Dellas, we have a performance group that goes out and performs. We bring in artists from New York City to train them all year long so they can grow with the curriculum. And then I mentioned the Teen Ambassadors. Applause Awards, that's the outreach for Applause Awards. So before what's next, I just wanted to let you know we are very connected to Winter Park. We have, I think, 108 donors that are from Winter Park that have contributed close to $38 million to the entire effort, which is actually remarkable. We have about 17,000 tickets were sold here, and which is great. That contributes about $1.2 million to our business. It's important. So people are coming from Winter Park. And then we have 305 members that support the center as well. And then our education initiative is there are no boundaries there. So if we have any ideas and we can get into your community, we really want to do that as well. So construction for Phase 2 started in March. I think there's 81 miles of rebar that's been put into this building so far. This morning, they finished the pour of the floor. It's beautiful. I saw on the way out. So the subfloor is in. In this building, Steinmetz Hall actually floats. It doesn't touch the ground or the walls. And it's on rubber casters on about 480 pylons. This building is going to be floating inside of another building. And so what you see here, where this one gentleman is, he's on the subfloor. They're pouring concrete right there as well. If in the bottom, you can't see, but right in the, oops, I shouldn't have touched it. where this beam comes in, at the very bottom there's a black kind of box. That's actually a rubber caster. What was poured is the rebar on top of those beams. There's an entire floor that sits on top of this, and that's how the building actually floats. So the grand opening's in spring of 2020. They'll turn it over to us probably in March, hopefully. It takes about 8 weeks to tune the building, and then we hope to have an opening before the summer. A great quote, which is amazing, and hope you feel very proud of your investment, is to see a great performance, you'll need to go to Vienna or come to Orlando. There's not many buildings that have an NC1 rating worldwide, and we took the step to actually do that. It costs a little bit more money, but we think it well worth it. And then our growth in programming is really important, and our community engagement is always important. So, summary, strongest year ever, more shows, strong philanthropy. We've broken ground in phase two. We have about $10 million to close the gap on capital. A little bit scary stepping off the cliff and starting construction when you still have a fundraising need. Our board, actually, members of our board and several of them that are here actually guaranteed that we would raise the funds. So I'm standing up here with sweaty palms because we still have to raise $10 million. Creating our own content, being authentic is something that's important to us in terms of our programming. And then we're also determined to lead industry trends because we feel that the performing arts is time for an evolution and a change in great performing spaces. So I wanted to thank you very, very much for believing in us. And I'd love to answer any questions along with any of our board members or staff.
Great, thanks, Kathy.
Thank you.
Yeah, your show went a little long tonight, but
sorry.
That's all right. It's all great stuff. Do we have any questions? Anybody done
that? Just appreciate
it. Yeah, I have no questions. Just want to thank Kathy, I know, for her leadership over many years with us, and I think it's appropriate that we publicly thank you.
Yeah, I would also just say, you know, it's very timely that you're here. We have the Weekend of the Arts coming to Warren Park this weekend. We also have with us who I'm going to maybe call in a little bit. We have the mayor of Eatonville, Eddie Cole, is here. We have the mayor of Maitland, Dale McDonald, is here as well. And I think we're really, you know, we've got to look at things regionally. And that was the commitment that the city made to you guys because of the efforts you put forward. And as you mentioned, much of the work and many of the individuals and families that have contributed to the success are from the city of Warren Park, and you've created, you know, Winter Park's not just defined by our geographic borders. You've created another gem for our community that our residents utilize, and we appreciate that. So thank you for being good shepherds of their tax dollars and taking and creating such a unique and world-class environment for our residents and guests. So thank you for everything you do, Kathy.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you, Kathy. Okay.
Thank you, Jay.
Mr. Pugh, thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Chuck.
Randy, before I hit B, I'd like to jump over to 4C, which is the resolution against the racetrack. Folks, I'm not sure if the rest of the commission members have received emails or comments from neighbors. So there's a racetrack that's planned for Cimarron Boulevard.
A gas station.
Gas station, sorry.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Gas station. Oh, no, I don't know about the gas station.
It's a racetrack, racetrack brand. It's going to have an impact on our residents. And staff, as I believe, is also working with Orange County staff. And it looks like there's probably a recommendation for denial of the project coming out of Orange County, and I think our staff will support that. But to also add a little bit of weight to that, I'm proposing that we have a resolution from the City Commission that also is in support of our residents and the staff request for denial.
Do you need a second?
I do. I'll just take three nods. If we have three nods, that's enough to bring a resolution back to the next commission meeting.
Yes. Because the property is not currently zoned.
That is. Dory, do you have a moment, please, to bring us the reason for denial is due to the zoning and some of the other things that are going on. So it's important.
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners.
Thank you.
We've been certainly in response to the emails we received and the public notice we received, we reached out to Orange County immediately. And before the community meeting, Jeff was actually at the community meeting that they had. So we've been in contact with Orange County, and the property currently is office. It's zoned office. We've let Orange County know that we feel that's the appropriate land use and zoning for that as a transitional area with near the Winter Park Golf Course, the Winter Park Pines, as well as the residents. And Orange County has gone through this site and currently is going to be recommending a denial against the land use and zoning change, which is all they really have in place right now. And we will be supporting that through their DRC process and into the public hearing process. So we will have a letter. As soon as the staff reports get out, we intend to put a letter together to Orange County, and I've already let the staff liaison know that we would be putting that letter together through staff. So a resolution from you all would be extremely helpful.
And I know we try to be very careful about telling neighbors what they can or cannot do, but this directly affects our neighbors. This directly affects residents of Winter Park. And so, again, I'd support that, and I'll just, if we have two others, that
absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know where the location is, I'm sorry.
It's on Cimarron Boulevard, right outside of the Winter Park Pines.
Yeah, you got the pines, you're right there. It's that golf.
The corner of Bankery?
It's that 7 acres right there.
Bankery.
The other one.
It's down by Gulfview, where the golf course is.
Okay, close to the south. Okay.
Mr. Weldon, okay. Did you have something you wanted to?
No.
Do I have two others? I have one. Do I have a third?
Yeah, you have a third.
Okay, great.
I thought you saw
no, that's okay. That's okay. I just wanted to make sure. Okay, so if staff could work on that, that
we
would
will.
Be helpful. Thank you so much.
A resolution against the zoning change.
Yes, it would be a resolution that is supportive of the denial based on the same criteria.
Yep. We'll work through that language, but it'll be supporting the fact that Orange County is.
Thank you, Dory.
Thank you.
Folks, I mentioned before, I'm happy to recognize the mayor of Maitland, Dale McDonald, and the mayor of Eatonville, Eddie Cole, who've been great partners with the city of Winter Park on so many things. Thank you both for being here. I know this is an issue that's coming up before, that's happening in your municipalities as well. This, the short-term rentals, better known as Airbnb. Can we get I asked for an update on where we stand on this. I know there's a lot of legislation. Commissioner, you were just up in Tallahassee. That may preempt any move on this. There's some opportunities for grandfathering for the city of Winter Park. But can some staff brief us on where we stand? Is that a chief? If you wouldn't mind, where we stand on that and what we're doing to try to control that so our residents can have some peace of mind that the home next to them will not be rented out on a daily basis.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll try and answer your questions for you. Yes, we do have an ordinance in place that we do use to enforce issues and problems that we have that result from rentals of single-family dwellings in those zoned areas. It's basically covers that we can't rent or lease those units for less than 30 days. Where we have been attacking this, I guess, for the last couple of years since it has become more popular. But there, you can understand they're probably extremely hard to find. We can go on the popular websites, which we have staff that monitor those. When we see one that's got a Winter Park address, which normally there's 60 to 80 at any one time, they're notified of the ordinance, and most people comply because they just don't know that there's a prohibition to it. Where we have the problems are homes that are routinely rented in residential areas that are used for things other than single-family occupancies or vacations. They're used for weddings, parties, where we then have sound, noise problems and parking issues. And so they're not used for the type of occupancy that we expect out of a residential area. So the 30-day rental does allow us some leverage. But it's extremely hard to enforce because unless there is a problem, people usually don't call and say, hey, my neighbor's house is being used for Airbnb. Now, they see some other people in the neighborhood. They might contact us or they contact the police department to say there's some strange people in the neighborhood. Can you check them out? And unless they have something that says, I don't know what my lease is. I'm only here for the weekend. It's usually not a problem. But where we end up with the problems are when they're leased for other purposes. And it doesn't happen very often, but we do have some neighborhoods where that's very popular, especially the lakefront properties.
You said there's 80 to 90 at any one time. So is there active enforcement going on? Are you calling through Airbnbs?
Yeah, well, the way that the site is set up, it's very difficult to locate the exact address. The staff does a really good job at looking at the photographs and then comparing those to the photographs that are on the that are available publicly on the property appraiser's website, and we could pretty much figure out which house it is. So then that letter is, once we are able to locate the address, then that letter goes to the property owner of record and just informs them that we have an ordinance that prohibits leases of less than 30 days. Now, previous, we had discussions back with the previous city attorney at the time about it, and his interpretation was, well, people can lease a property to more than one person at a time.
Right.
So you could have a lease that's longer than 30 days, 31 days to meet the ordinance, and only have an occupancy of 2 weeks or a weekend. And you could have more than one person having a lease at the same time, as long as they have. So there is a way around what we currently have. So it's strong enough that we're able to get people that are willing, that don't know that we have an ordinance against it, and they go, oh, I want to follow the rules and I'm not going to do it anymore, thank you. But then there's others that'll find ways around it, as they normally do.
And Chief, we've had this ordinance in place since when?
You have to check with George.
1999.
It's been a while. 99, yeah. So, yes, it was before the prohibition period, so we felt confident that it was something that was already grandfathered and in place. So.
Okay. Do we have any questions for the Chief?
Yes, ma'am.
So what do we do after we send them a letter? Do we then check it out?
Yes, but, well, unfortunately, normally either one of two situations have happened. Either we've caught them before they've rented it again, because it's usually a constant advertising. They
right.
leave it up on the site, and they rent it for this month, and then they rent it for that month. So once we just constantly check those addresses to see if somebody is occupying it, and then you've got to interrupt them and say, are you here for, you know, what is your lease? So it really, with staff availability and the time, they get the letter, and if we then have a problem with the property, a complaint from a neighbor, a noise violation, a parking violation, whatever, then we can go in and use that ordinance to enforce that on the property owner. It's really not the occupants, the renters, you know, that are there for the weekend's issue. It's back to the property owner.
Okay.
That's required to maintain that, you know, to not rent it for less than 30 days.
Thank you.
Commissioner Kushner.
We never put an ordinance in place, though, to go in and inspect the facilities or anything.
Oh, no, ma'am, no.
Because that inspection, regulation,
correct.
Enforcement is all being preempted to the state. And that's very
proposed
important.
To be preempted.
It's being proposed, and it has moved through two Senate committees already, and it's well on its way unless the public steps forward and starts to express concern. And the mayor will tell you that we had numerous people there from other places in Florida where large real estate conglomerates had actually come in and bought up property in very nice single-family residence. And we really don't have enforcement authority under this new law, and the inspection doesn't apply to single-family homes. So even though it's being turned over to the Department of Hotels to enforce and regulate, they're not going to be coming in unless someone makes a complaint. Their inspections will be all complaint driven. It is a very damning proposal, and I hope people understand that. We need to speak up.
So I'd like to play on that a little bit more, Commissioner. I think that the public, if they knew about, we stood on the steps of Orlando City Hall to complain about some of the preemptions that are happening at the state level just the other day.
I read that article. You know, thanks for your quote. It's very powerful.
You're welcome. And I'm wondering if there's an opportunity to get the word out to the public. Randy, Clarissa, is Clarissa here or Craig?
Craig's here.
Craig's there. Hey, Craig. To possibly, there's a lot that's going on at the state level right now, and I think the power of the pen from the residents of Winter Park talking about the preemption issue, I'd like to see something personally that goes out to the public to alert them to not only that, but CRAs, the tree ordinances that seems to be making some waves up there. What else, Commissioner? You can throw in
impact fees. I think impact fees.
Election dates.
Election dates.
Absolutely.
That's a very real issue for
That's
Mayor
huge.
Cole. And this is not, you know, what the state is trying to turn this around into is local municipalities are worried about their revenue streams. It's got nothing to do with the revenue streams. This has everything to do with the ability of us to create the communities that our residents expect. So I would like to see something. Yes, Commissioner.
Yeah, this is a subject upon which I think we can all agree. Along the very same lines, I contacted Marilyn Crotty, asked her, explained the problem, and asked her for some guidance on things we could do as a city. And one of the notions behind my thought process was exactly, I think, what you're saying, Mr. Mayor, that we can use the bully pulpit of the commission to send things to our own residents under the name of the commission. Mm-hmm. We could write a My Word column under the name of the commission to the Orlando Sentinel to raise awareness. And it can be either, you know, general or specific. I have some suggestions from Marilyn Crotty's organization's person who is in charge of this that I made copies of that I'll have Randy pass out after the meeting, I guess, on this subject, just to give some context for work on the subject. And I certainly support what you're suggesting.
Okay.
Aren't there people that are leading this effort from other cities?
There's the Florida League of Cities, the Florida League of Mayors.
No, I mean that leading the effort to get rid of the home rule. Like, aren't the people who are elected in Tallahassee from, isn't one of them from Sarasota?
Yeah.
So why aren't we running ads in Sarasota against that individual?
I like the way you're saying
See, if you're going to get rid of the
well, Representative Stubbe, I think.
One of the important elements there, I think.
I don't want people from Sarasota telling us in Winter Park what to do. That's my point.
Well,
and that's about home rule right there.
Commissioner
Seidel, you still have the floor.
I know we just told Orange County we don't prefer that they change their zoning, but that's not a law. That's a request from us, right? But the people from, you know, an elected official from Sarasota saying Tallahassee gets to tell people in Winter Park how to do their business really bothers me.
It bothers all of us, I believe. And we're trying to find a way to address it. One thought, you know, again, is to encourage our residents to contact the specific individuals involved in the state as well as the commission. The commission is another political body. The residents are voters, and if they're informed about who's supporting this at the state level, and they know that, and we encourage them to write those people and express their opinions, then you have maybe a stronger message.
And it is more powerful. I'm sorry.
No,
Sarah.
Commissioner. Sorry.
I was just going to be nasty. I was just going to say maybe we could tell them who not to vote for governor. Because that's what this is all about, folks. This is all political. That is all it is. Yes. It's all political. And this is the way.
You mean it has to do with political contributions?
Not even just political contributions.
People trying to
it's just the philosophy. Yeah, it's people who want to move into another role. So.
So if you don't mind, I do have the mayors here. If you'll, I'd love to give you the floor, give you the opportunity. Mayor McDonald, either one, sir.
A little shy.
Yeah, I'm bashful. The great unwashed from Maitland appreciates the opportunity to speak here.
Please identify yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. She wants to think about height. It's just unwashed. No, Carolyn and I were up there last weekend, and the... I use the term condescending arrogance in our press conference the other day, but there isn't any better term for it, to look down on us and believe that they know better what our community standards are and what they should be than we do, cannot be any more condescending than that. So, and Pete, you're absolutely right. This is always about money. And so what's your question then? Tallahassee's a different animal. The ability to have people that we've known well, you know, elected officials and legislators, and I'll try not to name any more names than necessary, Mike Miller, but the, you know, the fact that can pretend to be acting in your best interest and in his district's best interest when Mike's not, and others, not just Mike. Folks, yeah, the fear of leadership. The adversarial tones the last couple of sessions has been palpable. They will all remark on that. And sorry, we can't do anything. It's the leadership. In order to get something, we've got to go along. Well, I'm not real good at that, and I'm sure most of you folks aren't either. This kind of thing is too obvious, and your mayor hit on it very solidly the other day, that on Friday about one size fits all. There's a certain level of this, and that you just can't rationalize as to how you can possibly believe that this is accurate. But it's a whole lot easier to influence 100-odd legislators than it is 400 cities and 77 counties. But that's their job. It's not their job to make it easier for them to get paid. So to have campaign contributions into PACs and so forth, I don't mean get paid. So, but Carolyn has an email. I think you just got Kathy's email probably today that had specific email addresses and phone numbers for all the, so we can get that out. Phone calls count. Now, I think they only count elected officials' phone calls half as much as everybody else's, but phone calls matter, and they total those up. And so don't be bashful about calling. Don't be bashful about sending emails, because at some point in time, that's all you can really touch. Somebody's sitting 250 miles away, and they know better than we do. So that's all I really wanted to add, Eddie. Vacation rentals are just as egregious as the rest of it. Tree trimming, impact fees.
Elections.
I mean, and some of the absolute misrepresentation of how impact fees are applied. And Carolyn caught a very damning part of that bill where the impact fees could not be used to pay down any debt that may have been accrued to pay for
approved projects.
So CIPs that we do become, you know, antithetical in that we can't use that money to pay down that debt that we may have taken on for sewer, water, whatever. And that's, leave us alone. Thanks.
Thank you, Mayor.
Mr.
Yes.
I do think that Pete's comment relative to us speaking as a commission mm-hmm. through resolutions is very powerful. And I know we did that for CRAs. I'm not sure if we did it for impact fees or vacation rentals, but there are a list of bills.
Correct.
And please, your phone calls and your emails matter a lot. They really
These
do.
People understand that when we use the phrase, what is the phrase?
Home rule.
Home rule. From their point of view, it's usurping our power. What's the phrase they use?
Preemption.
If we just explain it to our citizens in that general sense and then show a couple of quick examples and have them tell these people that we don't want to be preempted, they'll know what we're talking about, right?
Right.
So we don't have to get into the minutia, I don't think.
So I think what we can do, Randy, if I have support of the commission, I believe I do, is to try to work on an outbound email to the residents to include emails as well as phone numbers to contact state representatives in the Senate as well. Mayor McConnell?
Yeah, 50 years of home rule has been in place, and it's as though it's never been in place right now. The willingness to override that, you know, and the phone calls, I mean, a two-minute phone call, and these numbers, Carolyn has the numbers, and the League of Cities supplies us with these things, and email addresses. You know, it's just too easy. So. And it's across the board in so many areas, and Pete's right. You don't have to have all the details. Somebody that's answering the phone in Representative Cortez's office or Representative David Santiago in Deltona, these are all people that are on this committee. And this vote is, because remember, those folks can all talk to each other. We can't. And so some of this stuff gets a sense of being a done deal, where it's never discussed in public.
This is the group that instituted the Sunshine Law, but is not beholden.
Yes, correct. You're absolutely right.
So we'll work on something, and if you all would like to take that also, we're happy to share that with you, to send out to your residents. We're happy to.
The sooner the better, because you know the session's going to be gone.
Yeah, that's the problem with the resolution.
It's Tuesday.
A resolution's a little bit longer, but we can certainly get an email out. We can get an email in the next couple of days to our residents to start calling and start sending emails.
And you can certainly send that privately to each of us for our feedback. And
correct.
And determine what to send.
I just think we should target one or two things, okay? And the reason I think that is because if we do that and we ask our residents to help and we just narrow it down to one or two things, that's where we need to go.
I think that's wise.
So let's be real judicious as to how we choose those one or two things, whatever they are, and go after our public doing that. and then I think that makes more sense. Because they will tally, and they will report. But the real problem is bigger than this, folks. And the real problem is about leadership saying to our friends and neighbors and members, you may as well vote for this, because if you don't vote for this, you're not going to get anything you want this session. Now, that's not new. That's always been there, okay? Right. It's just more egregious now because of the way the mean-spiritedness of the people are that are working. And that's the problem. It's not about the process as much as it's about the people. And so we have to be really careful about how we do this. But let's take on one or two. Let's don't take the whole thing, because it'll get lost in the...
The catchphrase of home rule is very clear and is very all-encompassing.
Well, in Winter Park, nobody wants to be like everybody else.
Correct.
And that's real easy. So let's just tell them. We don't want to be like everybody else. We appreciate the fact that we make these rules for ourselves, because we want to be a little bit different. So
let's, if you don't mind, then perhaps we can, I take that and I appreciate it. I think you're right. If we can focus on, thank you, Dale. We can focus on vacation rentals and trees. Would be the tree ordinance that's
the tree ordinance.
The tree statute,
amended,
I should say. Sorry,
Randy. It got amended to take away the aspects of private property.
Yeah, so I don't think it's got.
They made it a little better.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be your.
Yeah, why don't we let Randy look at current status? Because even today, the status
it changes every
yesterday.
Yeah, right.
Randy, would you do that? You can send out an email to the commission.
And they're expecting CRA to come back.
Great. So. Okay, that's it. Gentlemen, thank you. Eddie, thank you for being here. We appreciate it. Thank you, sir. Mr. McDonald, Dale, Mayor, thank you. Mr. Seidel.
Could we get some of our local columnists to write some columns as well?
They have been writing.
They have.
They have been writing. We have a couple other locals here, too. Right, Tim?
Right, Tim? You got it?
Okay. All right, City Manager's Report. Mr. Knight.
We have a very short video on the Weekend of the Arts we'd like to show. I know time's running here, but... If it's okay with you, we'll cue it up. I think it's about 2 minutes. You got it ready, Patrick?
Great voiceover by Clarissa, who's always behind the scenes but rarely on tape, and she did a great job. We also had a great event a week ago tonight, wasn't it?
Right.
This past Monday night, we had how many people at the Cornell?
I respect.
There was over 100 people in the Cornell, and how many?
130.
130 people packing the Cornell from all the different arts organizations within the city, brought there by the subcommittee of the arts, the Citizen Advisory Board. So a great job in publicizing this, and we're looking forward to a great weekend. Any questions for the city manager or other comments?
Just one other thing, and we can talk about it at the end if you'd like. I've had a commissioner ask about, we've got a couple items for historic preservation on the agenda today, and the question is, how do we record that a property's been designated for the county records? If a property ever goes to sell, how is that information?
We were looking at something last year.
Right, we had talked about just adding the letter H at the end of whatever the zoning is, but the property appraiser, tax collector, whichever one it was, said that would have to be an official zoning class for them to do that. So the question is, do you want to go to that step where you would actually rezone a property if it becomes designated, or do you just want to record the resolution in the public record that declares them designated?
So, and again, the purpose behind that was so that someone coming in purchasing a home understands that they're purchasing a historic home.
Right.
Yeah, I just spoke with an agent the other day that didn't realize a house in College Quarter was in a historic district. And I think that would be impactful in College Quarter.
I agree.
Sure. I would prefer us move towards us recording something in the deed, or you know, that goes along with it, as opposed to changing the entire registration process. But I'd like it to go with it. But
yeah, what are the pros and cons, Dory?
Yes.
Well, it's really so that the real estate
agent is only on something like that.
Right. We've looked into this. The easiest solution would be to record all the resolutions that we've used to adopt the past historic and future historic designees. That we can tie into the actual address and the tax ID number. It would require someone, when they go in, to look at the background of a property to look at that, but it would be recorded.
Will that show up on, that should show up on a title search, though?
Yes, absolutely, because it's a recorded instrument. Sure. To that particular parcel in that particular home. The concept of a rezoning gets extremely complicated and takes it to a two-step process where we would not only have to take it through the HPB to get the designation, but then have to go through the P&Z to get the zoning. And that's cumbersome to a resident who's actually trying to be proactive about historic preservation. The other side of it is that we would have to go in and probably do an administrative rezoning to all properties that are already designated. And quite frankly, Commissioner, you can understand the confusion that will cause among some property owners in Winter Park that we're administratively rezoning their property to historic preservation. It's staff's thought in this that we move toward just filing those resolutions, and we can start. I've already talked to Cindy about pulling all that we've done so far and sending those off to Orange County.
I think that's pretty wise recommendation. Are you guys okay if we handle it that way?
That's much better.
Do we know how the City of Orlando handles it?
City of Orlando uses their own GIS, and they do have a historic category that they use. They don't go through the Orange County property appraisers when people look up, like realtors are looking up what the zoning is. They go to the City of Orlando's GIS. We use the Orange County property appraisers to find out what our zoning category is, and they have not worked with us on putting some kind of a designation that is historic.
So, Dory, part two of that would then be probably some outbound communications with the realtors in the in the area to alert them to it, too.
Brooks is working, meeting with individual realtors and brokers to make sure that message comes across, and we can prepare something maybe through the HPB that we can send out and let the realtors know what to look for.
Well, also, I think you could probably work through ORA. The president of ORA is actually, this year's president of ORA is actually a resident of the City of Winter Park, okay. So dealing through Lou Nimkoff. He could help get the word down to the realtor level as well.
We can do that.
Okay, are we good with that?
That concludes my report, and I took the city attorney's time, too.
You did? Yes. He was okay with that. Any questions for the city manager? Ms. Sprinkle.
Yeah, just update everybody on the quiet zones, because didn't we get moved up finally? Well,
we did, according to, verbally we've been told by the FDOT that they're getting ready to start that process in April, I think it was. Is Don or Troy? Up there, yeah, April, yeah, and they're going to do an intersection approximately every 2 weeks, weather permitting, and you know, and also by the end of summer, we should have all of the safety equipment put in place to affect quiet zones.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Seidel.
Yeah, just a quick follow up on that. I thought the one area on 1792 required a public meeting because of the median. issues there at the train track. So is that in the schedule as well?
We have a meeting regarding that. I think we're there, but they're not doing this.
But they can still do the quiet zone without that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Great, thank you. Mr. City Attorney.
Yes, just briefly, Mayor and Commissioners. A lot of it you all already talked about. With respect to vacation rentals, I spoke with two or three folks estate about an hour before the meeting. It's very fluid, and the exemption that it's a moving target right now. So pressure from residents and elected officials would be very, very helpful, because no telling what's going to happen at this point, from what I can tell. The tree canopy, the right-of-ways electric corridor, and the preemption there, I think we're at risk in that as well. We've got an ordinance that was adopted, I believe, but that's a fluid issue. The impact fees, they're all at risk at this point, it sounds like, from what I can tell. The elections, looks like March and November are the two dates that there's going through, and that'll satisfy a lot of cities throughout the state, because 80% of them.
Except for the fact that it requires the March date becomes the runoff.
Exactly.
And then the pre-election would have to happen 10 weeks before that, which means you'd be having an election on the second Tuesday of January, which means campaigning would take place from basically Thanksgiving all through Christmas and New Year's.
That's exactly right. So the problem is, even though it sounds from the legislator standpoint, most cities, 80% of the cities have their elections in November or March, it creates the problems that Randy just identified.
Why do you think they care?
They don't.
It's a remarkable waste of their time.
Last on the CRC, the Constitutional Revision Commission, where we were trying to enhance the home rule powers for cities across the state, the act that was going to disembowel cities failed unanimously. The proposed amendment to the Constitution that would have given us some enhanced protections failed in a 2-2 tie. However, the full Constitutional Revision Commission can bring either of those or others back before the entire committee. So it's not completely dead. The bad one died, the good one died because of the tie.
Nothing's ever dead, though.
Exactly right.
Well, I think Senator Lee actually implied he was going to bring it back.
Yes, exactly right. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. Any questions for the city attorney? No. The one thing I'll add there, and going back quickly to all the work that's going on in Tallahassee, because I've never seen an entire county, the leadership from the entire county. We had every city represented on the steps of Orlando City Hall to protest our state representatives in Tallahassee. And I don't know when that's happened before. But entire county leadership coming together to say to the state, yeah, enough. So it was a pretty nice showing and well done by Mayor Bruin to pull that together. Which actually came out of the Orange County Council of Mayors meeting that we had 2 weeks ago. We pulled that together in less than a week. Okay, we have citizen comments closer to the 5 o'clock hour. Consent agenda, any changes?
Move to approve.
Okay.
Yeah. Second.
I need to recuse myself, Mr. Mayor, 9B1.
Okay, so I have Commissioner Cooper, Commissioner Sprinkle, and Commissioner Seidel, 9B1.
Correct.
You are recusing yourself. So let's pull that out. We will vote on, I will open up the floor to public comment. Anybody wishing to address the commission on the consent agenda? Now is your time. Okay, seeing that, we'll close the floor to public comment. Let's have two votes on this, if you don't mind, folks. We will vote on the entirety of this with the exclusion of 9B1. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. And then 9B1 with the exclusion of Commissioner Seidel. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Please let those show us 5-0 and 4-0, Cindy. Okay, Randy, are you 10A?
Well, this is an administrative matter for you to appoint the canvassing board for the 2018 general election. Obviously, Mayor Leary is conflicted out and can't serve. We just want to see if the other four commissioners can be there. We need to have at least three, and Ms. Bonham can serve in someone's place if we don't have at least three commissioners.
Mr. Mayor, I'm not available, so if Cindy could fill my slot, I'd appreciate that.
Gee, I was hoping to get her first.
I will be here.
Okay, I have Commissioner Sprinkle will also handle it, and you need three. So
we need three.
Ms. Bonham, Ms. Sprinkle, and...
I've never got to do it.
There you go.
Short straw. And I have Commissioner Seidel, so those are the three.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Excuse me. I also need approval of the...
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
That's okay. to accept the canvassing criteria set by the state that I have in the packet. So if I can get a motion on that, I'd appreciate it.
Has it changed from last year's sending?
Not
materially.
Okay.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay. And I also need a motion for...
Hang on one second, if you don't mind, Cindy. Since I'm conflicted out as to the appointment, am I conflicted out, Mr. City Attorney, on voting on these, on the other items that Mrs. Bonham's are?
Great. Just one.
Just want to be clear.
Does Michelle want to
say? I remember that.
Okay, Ms. Bonham, your second comment?
Yes, sir. To allow the Supervisor of Elections Office to open and run the vote-by-mail ballots through the tabulator prior to us getting there at 4 o'clock. They won't obtain any records until 7 o'clock, but that'll save us a lot of heartache when we get there.
I'll move that.
We'll be open, counted, run through all the valid ones.
I'll second
else, we have to canvass.
Okay. We'll open up the floor to public comment on these two items. Anybody wish to address the commission on these two items? Item 10A, which are the secondary items. Okay, seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. Cindy, would you please read the roll on the first?
Sure. Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Wildman?
Yes.
Mayor Laird?
And now on the second regarding opening of the mail.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Wildman?
Yes.
Mayor Laird?
Yes. Thank you. Okay, 10B, Mr. McMackin.
I think Michelle's going to...
Oh, Michelle's taking this. God bless you.
Hello, good evening. The Library and Event Center Task Committee has put forward a recommendation to create a subcommittee for the naming of the campus and the buildings that would make a recommendation to the City Commission.
Can I?
Sorry.
Are you done?
I don't know.
Michelle,
you don't have to.
Since that meeting, I've spoken to task force members because they had a quick question, which was, does a sub task force become Open Sunshine, which it does.
Yes.
So speaking to them, the comment, and Commissioner McMackin is here, if he'd like to address this as well, if we can get through this.
I'm more allergic to this, it would be better.
Yeah, she's done talking about the library. She's got allergies to it. Tom, I know we talked about this, and the question was, are we open to Sunshine? And it turned out that we were. So is there...
Yeah, is that subject to Sunshine?
It is subject to Sunshine.
Okay. And I make sure
again, the naming process is extremely important to this new facility because it's certainly going to be greater than the sum of its parts, and it needs to speak to the same quality that we just saw here with the Dr. Phillips Performing Arts Center. I hope someday in the near future, a future president of the library board or whatever is here, giving those kind of glowing results, because I really believe that's going to happen. The challenge is if you've been involved in the creative process, it's really hard to sit in a room, you throw out the lights and say, okay, be creative. And that's the challenge we face with the Sunshine laws that are upon us, is that we love to get a group of talented individuals who do this in a room to brainstorm to say, hey, here's a recommendation to the commission, because we really feel that the naming of that is so important, not only for the future, but right now, as the library board approaches fundraising, as the city attempts to define to its residents what this new facility is. And I keep calling it facility because I'm not going to use those two words of the buildings that are there, because, again, it's going to have a name, and it's going to be part of a campus that we envision that includes all of MLK Park as well. So it needs to have that. Everybody knows where they're going when you say you're going to the whatever.
Yeah, and I want to be clear. The role is not to find a sponsor for it. The role is just
that is correct.
As we go out and talk to fundraiser to folks to talk about raising funds, they say, well, what is this thing called?
What is it called?
And so we look at the campus itself. The opportunity is really for this, for I would say the task force, with some leadership from a branding expert to come in and walk you through an exercise on what a name could be to bring back.
I think we have that discussion, yes. And that is that we're not talking about naming opportunities within the facility
right.
itself. We're talking about what are we going to call this new facility. And I think it has to, and I think the rest of my task force members agree, it has to have that name recognition, that everybody knows where you're going to when you say that in Winter Park and surrounding, because again, this is larger than our own community as well.
And so, Tom, does it make sense to, you and I chatted about it a little bit earlier, does it make sense, can we have a branding, someone with some expertise in branding, just do a two-hour workshop? You have, you're on the library board, you've spent time up here, you get the opportunity. Sam Stark is also branding, marketing background, he understands it. Leslie and everything she's done in her career has that knowledge. I think if we have a branding expert just sit for 2 hours with you all and walk you through that exercise, is that something that can be done?
I think it can be done. Whether it can be done in 2 hours or not, we may need to do that more than once or whatever, but again, it depends on when lightning strikes and that.
I just don't see a need to see the new sub-task force that Ben recommends to you, that then you look at the recommendation, because I think
we're
both
working
done.
Toward the same point is to have that group get together, and if it is the task force group, and I believe we would all be willing, and I speak for myself, but I believe the other members too would be willing to take part in that. Again, having that kind of expertise come in and kind of moderate that discussion.
And then provide us with some recommendations.
Because at the end of the day, you as the commission still approve any name that's recommended or not, and so it still is, it's bringing that recommendation back to all of you.
Well, I think a lot of the work's been done, right? Through the visioning process, people understand that. Through the library task force work that's been done, from Sir David's presentation, that's got to be factored into it.
I think it's all the pieces are there. Again, it's finding that word amongst all of that information, that name, that whatever it is that sparks that we know where we are.
Well,
that's important, and especially the sooner we do that, the better. Because I know as the library board reaches out as part of their fundraising effort, it's what is it? Well, it's more than just the library. It's more than just the civic center, and so people are thinking it's one or the other, and very few are saying it's both. And we need that. What makes it both? And okay, that's critical going forward. And the sooner we can do that, the better.
So what's the recommendation here?
But the recommendation was to create a sub-task force, but I think my recommendation, the motion I'm going to make, is to have a branding person, a marketing person. I reached out to our friends at Evolve to see if they'd be willing to donate their time to lead this with our existing task force. And they said they would. So my motion would be to have this naming of the task force come up with some name opportunities, to have a branding expert, the folks from Evolve, lead them through that, and then bring back some recommendations for the city commission to vote on for the naming of the entirety.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any questions for either Michelle or Commissioner?
I always call you Commissioner.
Former Commissioner? Tom, friend?
The Honorable.
Friend of the diet.
The Honorable. I like that.
I have to say this. Just at our last meeting, we voted that the City Commission would retain the approval of the naming for the entire facility or the library or the community center. My concern in having you go out ahead of us actually deciding what kind of contributions and opportunities we have for the entire facility is, let's say you decide to call it the Center for Innovative Dialogue and Celebration, whatever you brand it to be. And then Whole Foods, Florida Hospital, Ruth Chris, comes along after that and wants to donate over 50%, then it seems to me that our opportunity for any naming participation has kind of gone away, because it seems like it becomes the Florida Hospital Center for Innovative Design and Celebration if we're going to name, you know, we're talking about capital letter names,
no,
right?
I totally understand that, and Commissioner, I firmly believe that is a discussion that the Commission needs to have. If you truly would want to say, we're going to have the Camping World Library Event Center in Winter Park. If the desire is to say that we would put a name other than a community name on that facility, is definitely a direction that the task force or any group would
need. That's my concern, Tom, because it's a $30 million publicly funded facility.
Yes.
So I have a little trouble with it not being public something, Winter Park something.
But Commissioner, that's
the question.
Go ahead, sir.
Are we ready to define something this early in the process?
Well, can I just interrupt, because I'll turn this over in a moment, but this will be a decision of the commission. All they're doing, similar to the choosing of the architect or any other task force, they will bring forward recommendations for us to them. So
top
we don't
five,
have to sit through presentations.
Six.
Huh?
Top five. Top
we can
six.
Bring back three. I mean, I'm happy with three.
I'm hoping we bring back one great one and everybody goes, yes.
I would suggest you bring back more than one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I know if we bring back one, we have at least five other opinions.
Yeah, so.
I have six to go with it. So
I support doing this, and I also support doing this sooner rather than later, and I support you guys doing the hard, heavy lifting once again and bringing it back for us to make the decision.
Some recommendations. Okay. Let's open the floor to public comment. Any wishing to address the commission on this item? Okay. Seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. Further discussion, Mr. Seidel? All we're looking for is a recommendation from the task force.
No, I mean, I think Winter Park as a brand, the name, so Winter Park something would be a pretty good brand. That's right.
We'll let them do the work, and they'll come back, and we can certainly respond or react to their recommendations. Okay. Cindy, would you please read the roll?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Wellman?
Yes.
Mayor Mary?
Yes. Thank you. Tom, thank you, and thank your other two members. That's you guys have been doing a lot of work. Thank you very much.
Winter Park. Great.
Okay. Commissioner, don't start to see. Come on.
Just sneak your vote.
Sneak
your vote. And your vote will count.
Okay, we have Miss Nooner, are you presenting this? Did you try to get out of it?
I didn't realize we were rolling that fast. Okay.
We're fine.
We're moving
fast. Probably not fast enough for some.
Mr. and Mrs. Hagel are hosting a party at their home at 220 North Park Avenue and have requested to locate a barge temporarily in the lake. Our ordinance requires that if they're going to have the barge there for more than 48 hours, that we hold a public hearing for discussion and approval. The size of their party doesn't constitute the need for a special event permit or any sort of large gathering event. So it's just this one specific piece of our ordinance that requires a public hearing and approval, which is the barge in the lake for more than 48 hours. The staff has met. Our special events group already had a meeting scheduled, and so this was discussed. And from a safety perspective, we've evaluated this request in addition to just the simple request, but we have taken a look at it, and staff supports this request.
Okay.
Mr. and Mrs. Hagel are here if you have any specific questions.
Great. Let's see if we have a motion for them to respond to. Or
I'll move it.
Second.
Great. Further commission discussion? No.
I did talk to the applicants on the phone, and they said none of the neighbors were upset. Right.
Okay.
And that's what I was asking about. So.
Great.
I don't know if there's anyone here to say anything.
No, we can't.
We will open up the floor to public comment. Anybody wishing to address the commission on item 11A? Now is your time. Okay. Seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. Mr. and Ms. Hagel, you're certainly welcome to address the commission if you want on this item. Or
I asked mine already.
I think you've been through this before. Great. Cindy, would you please read the roll?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Wellman?
Yes.
Mayor Laird?
Yes. Thank you. Congratulations. Hope you have a great time. Okay. Item 11B, Mr. City Attorney.
Yes, sir. Resolution number blank, a resolution of the City Commission of the City of Winter Park, Florida, designating the Hugh G. Parton Estate Family Cemetery at 2500 Modak Trail, Winter Park, Florida, as a historic resource on the Winter Park Register of Historic Places.
Okay. Mr. Here for us. Go ahead, Brooks. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mayor. Trying to find
my place on my computer here.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, this is good news. Last few months we've had two exciting opportunities to bring before you. The Hugh G. Parton Family Cemetery, which is, if not the only one, certainly one of the few in Winter Park. Randy brought this to my attention not too long ago, and we've met with the representatives for the Parton family, and they're here. The Niedermans are here to see this go through. And also at 654 West Lyman, John Schofield and his partner.
So let's take these one at a time, if you don't mind, because they're two separate resolutions.
Sure.
Okay. So we need a motion on this, if any discussion.
I've got some graphics, if you'd like to.
We have the photos, but you may as well put them up there, if you don't mind. So the folks, there we go.
This was all news to me. I had no idea this was back there. It was really very interesting.
What is really cool about it is, is these people were here when this city was founded,
prior
in the late 1800s, prior to the city being founded. So the history, if you read some of the news articles about it, it's fascinating what the family accomplished in that area of our city.
Yeah, it's great reading.
This goes back to the mid-1800s, and it's not only in Winter Park, it's all of Central Florida with great history, and Ms. Niedermeyer has put together a voluminous information study on the Parton family, as well as another document the same size, and they are to be given great credit for what they've done. The where are we? The property is basically surrounded by residential properties at the end of MoDOT Drive, and you can see it there to the left in the photo, aerial photo to the right. This is what it looks like from the street, and we've talked about how we might, the city might aid them in carrying forward and creating signage or maintenance and so forth. So there are some opportunities for us to participate at the commission's discretion.
Will it be open if we participate? Will it then be open?
At this point in time, it's not open. It's
certainly part of discussion.
Made by appointment only, so the parking is not a problem. We can explore all of those kinds of things. But at this point in time, it's
just being designated.
Call number and
I think before a commitment that any financial commitment that the city makes, it would be an interesting discussion to have. I think some people would certainly like to be able to take a peek at it. It's great.
I'd like to move it forward.
Okay.
Second.
Excellent. Okay, Brooks, if you wouldn't mind, we're going to have to take a vote on this.
Okay.
And then we'll have you back up to discuss 654 West Lyman, if you don't mind. Okay, any further discussion on this item?
There was a second.
Carolyn said. Okay, great. Let's open up the floor to public comment. Anybody wishing to address the commission on item 11B? No? And you're certainly, the applicants are certainly welcome to address the commission if you'd like, or things seem to be going pretty smoothly. Great. Okay, we'll close the floor to public comment. Are you all ready to vote?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Cindy, would you please read the roll?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Wilden?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you for bringing this forward. This is a nice little piece for us.
Cool.
Thanks very much. Brooks, or actually, I'm going to have Mr. Artiman read the resolution.
Yes,
for 11C, please.
Resolution number blank, a resolution of the City Commission of the City of Winter Park, Florida, designating 654 West Lyman Avenue, Winter Park, Florida, as a historic resource on the Winter Park Register of Historic Places.
Excellent. Brooks.
The next opportunity for historic preservation in Winter Park is in Hannibal Square at 654 West Lyman. This is a very typical 1925 frame house that was prevalent in the area at that time, and since then, it's located mid-block in on West Lyman, and used to look like this. And the existing drawings are on the left, and the proposed renovation drawing is on the right. And John Schofield with Restore Winter Park is here as a representative. And John has taken this on as a very laudable task, I think, to bring back one of the houses that Winter Park was founded with. So we're very happy about that.
Great. Any questions for staff? No, we'll look for a motion.
I'll move it.
Second.
Excellent.
Thank you.
I have one question.
Sure. Mr. Weldon.
Is Restore LLC a for-profit LLC or a not-for-profit? Or?
For-profit.
Thank you, John. I just wanted to understand this. Richard Dillis.
Great. I want to thank John for bringing this forward. This is, you know, we are an eclectic city, so having some variations back down there. I know you've invested a lot of time and energy in the West Side, and this is going to be nice. So thank you for taking this on. Any questions for staff? Nope. We have a motion. We have a second. Let's open up for a public comment. Anybody wish to address item 11C? Okay, seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. John, you're certainly welcome to address the commission if you like, but I think you got it. Okay, great. Cindy, would you please read the roll?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Weldon?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes, thank you. John, thanks again. Brooks, nice work. Okay, 11D. Mr. Artiman?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wait, you know what, folks? I'm sorry. Let's 5 o'clock, so let's see if there's any public comment on any item that's not on this agenda. Anybody wishing to address the commission on anything that is not before the city commission tonight, now is your time.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for taking a few moments to hear me. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a merchant on Park Avenue for the past 35 years. I have owned two stores, Bebe's and Liz's Fashion Experience.
Do you mind saying your name for the record?
Yes, Liz Shepherd.
Thank you, Ms. Shepherd.
Okay. I have gone to the city requesting a permit to shut the south end of the avenue down for a spring-summer fashion show. And we did two of them in the fall and winter. We have been grandfathered in now, and we are looking to benefit. I am working with Femme Decor, and the charity that we were going to be benefiting is the First Responders. And we have already met with Joanne, who owns the restaurant on Park Avenue. She will be doing, it'll be a Sunday afternoon. It'll be a Sunday brunch with the fashion show with a runway on the middle of the street, as we've done in the past, just on that small block right where my store is. And
which block is that, between which streets?
It's 311 Park Avenue South. Okay. The hotel is my neighbor next door.
Okay.
And Park Plaza Restaurant used to be my neighbor next door as well.
Okay.
But we've worked with the Winter Park Police Department, we've worked with the Fire Department, and with the Chamber, and also, of course, the Merchants Association, and in the past, and everything has gone off beautifully. We've had no problems of any kind, and last time we drew approximately 350 people to the avenue, the right kind of people, which we really, really need right now. As a small entrepreneur, and somehow, some way, I've managed to maintain for 35 years, I really feel that we need to do, as a merchant, something more on the avenue other than the Santa Claus parade, the Easter egg hunt, and trust me, I love those things. I have a kid's store. But they do not bring the right people down to the avenue to shop in our shops. And I'm a hands-on owner. I'm in my store almost 6 days a week, and I see what is going on the avenue. Things have changed dramatically. And I really think we need an event like this. Again, we sent out personal invitations, and when we did the other two shows, I had the right people come to the shows, people that would spend money.
So, Ms. Shepherd, are you asking for support from the commission?
Yes, sir.
Okay, has this been denied by staff?
Yes.
Catching us a little, me a little off guard.
It's been denied by staff, you know, because, as you know, every time we close the avenue for a new event, you know, we hear the other merchants say it hurts their business.
Right.
So what is the appeal process from the Shepherd?
I mean, this would be it to the city commission, but we could.
It would be agenda.
It can be agenda and give you background information.
And just recently, we moved someone off of Park Avenue.
That's correct. We denied that the last event, and that's the challenge. They're all worthy causes,
Those are non-tenants of the avenue.
That
as a merchant for 35 years, I feel that's a different story.
That's correct.
So why don't we do this? Would you mind going? We'll just have to go through the regular process. This is catching us a little off guard. The first I've heard of it, and I would assume most of us.
And do we have a date for this?
Yes, we do. It's a Sunday afternoon. It's April the 29th.
Okay. So we have a little runway.
And I have submitted everything already.
Great.
Yes. To the city.
So 5-3 knots, can we get this back on? Can we get this on the agenda to have a little bit full, a little more blown out discussion?
That's the proper process for appeal.
Okay, Ms. Shepherd, we'll probably get this on the agenda. We'll welcome you back to have a discussion with us where we have a little bit more information to react to.
Wonderful.
Okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for the commitment to Winter Park. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sean.
I'm Sean. Oh, hello. I'm Sean Schaefer. I live at 151 North Orlando, Winter Park. And I just wanted to thank you. We had our first ever library fundraiser golf tournament on Saturday, and it was a huge success. We sold out on golfers. We had a wonderful beer garden and a great band, and we were all done by 5 o'clock, so nobody could complain about the noise. You have a wonderful staff at the golf course, and the golf course is beautiful. People raved about playing it. They want us to do one again in the fall. I don't know about that, but I think we will make it an annual event. We were also very excited to be able to partner with the course, and the authors of the finest nine-hole golf courses were there and signing books, and I think we all helped them sell a few books that day. So I just want to tell you how great it was, how great the staff is, and how wonderful the golf course is.
Thank you, Sean. I was able to swing by after lacrosse scrimmage, so you guys did a great job. I think you converted golfers into library fans and library fans into golfers. I'm not sure they'd say they were golfers, some of them, as a ball rolled between my feet as I walked up on the patio. But you guys did a really nice job, and neighbors came to buy. The course architects were there, and they answered questions, and just a really nice event. So well done.
Good afternoon, and Happy New Year.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for your email. Ms. Cooper. Martha Bryant Hall, 331 West Lyman Avenue. I'm here tonight with the historical house, and congratulations to Mr. Schofield. I remember Marie Smith, who was the owner of that house, so I'm happy that it is on the historical register. But the reason I'm here tonight, I'm having a problem. I have paid $23,700+ for the portion of my part for the historical. And now it is at a standstill, and the reason for the standstill is because continue to change order. And I do believe that if the house would have remained with the same order, works the scope, it would have been completed. The first completion was supposed to be December the 31st. The next was January the 12th, and now February, and now it is February the 12th, and we are still in limbo with the house. I know some of you did not wish to have it, but I'm happy that it's here, and I'm trying to work at everything that is within my powers to do. I have spoken with Mr. Brooks, and many of the change orders is he's the one that suggests the change orders, and by my not being a contractor, even though I contract my own home, I listen to his guidance as the way I should go. But right now, the house, it looks a mess to me. With all the brown paper hanging from the house, they're still working on the roof, and the electrical part, the undergrounding was done, and it was suggested by Mr. Brooks that put the meter in the back of the house. And then once they put the meter in the back of the house, they're saying that I would have to go and pay all of the upgrading for the meter being connected to the panel box. So I am just wondering, and I'm sure you all have received emails that came from us, but I need some direction as the way I should go, because this has taken much too long, from December the 31st to now February the 12th, 2018.
Okay.
Ms. Mayor, I'm happy to look into this for you. I know you don't know the details, so I'll get with Brooks and Ms. Hall and
I think that would be great. If you wouldn't mind sending an email to us, Randy, just before the next meeting, so we're just updated on it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. And you will be sending me, so I'll make sure that everything is transparency, because many
yes,
things
ma'am.
Has not been. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Brenholm. Anybody else?
I have great empathy for her. Someone who's supposed to be in their house last Christmas. Not this past Christmas, last Christmas.
Anybody that's done construction. Great. Mr. Arteman,
yes,
are you
sir.
Good if we just keep blowing through folks?
Sure.
Yeah, good.
Ordinance number blank, an ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, amending Chapter 58, Land Development Code, Article Roman Numeral 1, Comprehensive Plan, Future Land Use Map, so as to change the single-family future land use designation on portions of the property at 2141 Oakhurst Avenue to a low-density and medium-density residential future land use designation, more particularly described herein, providing for conflicts, severability, and an effective date. And would you like me to read the
Please.
And ordinance number blank and ordinance amending Chapter 58 Land Development Code, Article Roman Numeral 3, zoning and the official zoning map, so as to change from single-family R-1A district zoning to low-density R-2 and medium-density multiple-family residential R-3 district zoning on a portion of the property at 2141 Oakhurst Avenue, more particularly described herein, providing for conflict, severability, and an effective date.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Arderman. These are on second read, folks. Any questions? Okay.
Mr. Arderman, at our last meeting, I deferred my motion on the bike path, and it just occurred to me that that was conditional use, so I now lost my opportunity. The conditional use, we did the land use code, we did the zoning, and then we got to conditional use, and we were discussing the bike path. And I said that I would be willing to defer. I withdrew my motion on the bike path, and it just occurred to me that since the conditional use comes first, which has never made any sense because it's conditional upon the other two zoning changes, have I now lost my ability to make the motion on the bike path?
So your motion was with respect to the conditional use, and it was the preliminary, not the final as well.
Correct.
So these two would... wait until...
I can't do anything now.
Well you could, but I mean...
The final conditional use will be coming back. You'll have that second opportunity.
We did ask for that. We asked for it, which is a little bit unusual. We asked for it to come back one more time, conditional use. Yeah.
Okay, so I have to wait. Because it just occurred to me that. Okay.
Exactly. So the final conditional use will come back at a different
point. I'll learn technical error on me.
Okay. Folks, we'll look for a motion to have a discussion. We have the Land Development Code first. I'll move that.
Second.
Okay. And regarding the zoning?
I'll move it.
Great. And I will second it. Okay, Mr. Seidel.
Yeah, I just want to have a follow-up on the discussion we had regarding the trail last time.
Sure.
And kind of, you know, how cities and counties go about making these things happen. And so we have the opportunity to have some land, and I had asked Randy, if you recall, to... you know, let me know how other places do this. And it just so happened during the week I was at a meeting at the City of Orlando on a project I'm working on, which is Grand National Drive. And there's a developer who's donating 20 foot of right-of-way to help widen the road as part of his approval of zoning changes to his property. And so I don't, what I'm, you know, looking at, if we want to have this green space connectivity happen, these are the kinds of opportunities where it's a win-win. They have a 50-foot, you know, easement there that they're not putting any buildings in. Does that count it towards their total space? Yes, and I'm happy to count it towards their total space, but then when they're done, if they give that back to the city, it's still going to be green space, right? And so we do our trail with it. So I just want you all to give some consideration on this, that in order to make some of these plans happen, we need to be a little more proactive when these developments come in, is how can we make it a win-win for all of us, that the developer doesn't feel like they're getting shorted, they don't feel like they're spending more money than they need to, and at the same time, the city is getting the area that it needs to do our connectivity improvements, whether it's pedestrian trails, bikes, other items. And, you know, I look at this as a real opportunity. And then even if nothing happens today, in 5 years or 7 years, they may come in and redevelop the property in front of it, and then we have our connectivity. But if we don't reserve that and have that there, then it's a lost opportunity when they come back in. And part of that, you know, I kind of go back to when they redid the Kmart Plaza, and if we could have put that road through to tie into Executive Drive, that would have helped with the connectivity coming out of that plaza and not having most people drive back through the 1792 intersection. So as we look at these, it would be, I think, to the city's benefit, if we just started to look at those win-wins as how we can make both things happen. And so I just appreciate consideration as when this comes back. I just want to share that.
I think, and I think we're expecting them to take a peek at it and see if it could work within their biggest concern. And again, I'm going back a couple of weeks, was their security for their residents, which I think is their paramount. So they certainly have the opportunity to come back to us and talk about that. Commissioner Cooper?
I also would like to address the bike path and the discussion that we had, because we do have a city vision statement that people worked very, very hard on for a long time.
And that city vision station says that we as a commission are going to do everything in our power to enhance walking, biking, recreational activities through a connected and integrated network of open space. It also says that we are going to increase the connection to nature by incentivizing public and private green space through the design and development process, which is this a part, this is a part of. And I'll come back to the incentivizing in a minute because I feel like we have incentivized. The next thing is our comprehensive plan is real clear. And we talked about last week whether the bike and ped plan had been approved or not. When we approved the comprehensive plan, policy 2-1.1.3 says, the city will continue to plan, fund, and construct a network of bicycle facilities as depicted in the Winter Park pedestrian and bicycle circulation plan as amended to increase non-motorized transportation. So for me, we have the legislative foundation that gives us the right to ask for this easement. The Four Seasons just granted us an easement across the road for the St. Andrews Trail, and it will come down to Aloma, and hopefully you guys can work on a way to get it from Aloma. However you can do it, I don't have any idea that we should tell you where, but if you can get it from there back to the back so that we can get to Lakemont Elementary School, that's what's been in our plan at least since 2010. So I just feel like as commissioners, we have a comp plan that says we're going to do it. We have vision statements that say it's what our residents want. We did zone property R3 that didn't need to be zoned R3. We did zone property to R2 to give you an opportunity to build significantly more square footage. And as a good neighbor, I would plead with you to help us do what we have committed to our residents that we will try to do, which is to connect this green space and bike paths. So if there's any way, I don't believe it should be the expense of the Mayflower. I believe that expense should be a city, even if it's walls around that bike trail, whatever it is you want. I think if the residents knew it was going to be there, they might want to participate in it. I do appreciate your concerns, but I think if we don't step up to saying things like this have to be done, every opportunity we lose makes it less and less likely that we'll be able to get it done. And so I also would plead with you to consider as we move forward a real commitment to our vision statement and to our comprehensive plan and to connectivity, because I will also be making that motion when it comes back for CU.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner. I'll say it too. I want to be clear though, the bike and ped plan was never approved. The bike and ped plan was accepted.
The comprehensive plan was, and those are legal policies.
But you're referencing it, and right. The reference is back to the bike and ped plan, which was not an approved document, it was an accepted document. And those are different terms. So anyway, I'm looking forward to it come back and see what they come back with.
I appreciate the input from Commissioner Cooper and Seidel on this, as I said at the last meeting. If you look at it from a practical point of view, it, certainly if the Mayflower is willing to set it aside, I would be happy to consider some quo pro on the part of the city at some point when something has to be built, if it's ever possible to build anything. But the practical reality is that we are meeting our commitment under the comprehensive plan with the extension of the Katy Way Trail to St. Andrews. That light is not a connection to the Mayflower or to the apartments behind it. There is already an 8 or 10 foot, I'm not sure, perhaps, you know, it's an 8 or 10 foot sidewalk going down Aloma there where you cross where you cross St. Andrews. You go down in front of Publix, turn right onto Lackley. What's the street that goes next to what's going to be the fresh place?
Lander.
And you're there. You're in that neighborhood.
Or you go all the way down to Lakemont and take a right.
Yes, or you can go through the neighborhood, which is what would happen if there were some way to create a trail, which I don't think there is. So it's not for lack of trying. It's for an interest in a pragmatic and workable solution that delivers on that commitment. And I think we have it when we complete the extension of the Katy Way Trail
to Aloma.
Tugaloma along St. Andrews. And I went out there specifically to look at that, and it's a practical implementation once the St. Andrews path is complete to safely cross Aloma at St. Andrews, turn left, bike down two blocks to Lander, turn right, you're there. So I don't
understand. My issue isn't the professional bike. My issue is the connectivity through multi-purpose trails for walking babies, for riding bicycles to Lakemont. I mean, I understand the professional biker can go right down Aloma as long as they want, but I just would like to see us take advantage of opportunities to make things happen.
Commissioner Seidel, you have the floor, and then we'll open up the floor to public comment.
Thank you. If I could get us to look at agenda packet page 73, please. Can we get that up on the screen?
Sure. Patrick, 73, please.
And it shows at the corner of Taylor Avenue, the zoning is open space recreation, which shows a connection between Lander and Taylor to where this new trail would go.
I'm not finding what you're talking about. Can we get it pulled up first so that it makes sense to
you? Are you talking about the little piece of city-owned property there?
Correct. So if you put a trail in, you can now go from Lander and Taylor Avenue up to Oakhurst.
How do you get back there?
How do I get back where? If I'm on Lander or Taylor, I'm assuming that's city-owned open space recreation. And that's where the trail is.
How do you get out of Mayflower Court, is it called?
There's a lift station there.
Do you not put trails by lift stations?
No. How do you get back out to Aloma going east?
Commissioner's question is, how do you go from the brown? Even if we put a trail there, you're still going along the
right. My point is, you guys are saying there's no way to connect it, and I'm just showing you there's a possibility.
I don't think we said that. I don't think anybody said that. We just said that. We've said we're willing to hear. We've already charged them with taking a peek at this, and we're waiting to hear.
And I hope that they hear and listen and that they come back with a constructive way to address it.
And I'm here to tell you that that's not their job. It's
right.
Our job. Okay. And if we want to sit up here, then we need to take the hard road, and we need to eventually address this plan that we're asking somebody to go in and make happen for us. But we have not even addressed it, folks.
But we did.
We looked at it, and if we adopted
the
something.
The comp plan is law.
It's not that. What we did was we said we'll accept it. We have never discussed this trail going this way. I know we haven't, because I've been sitting here every time we've had a meeting. So I want us to be aware that we need to do the hard job and look at this and make some decisions, because I don't want somebody else coming in front of us and us asking them to contribute something when, in fact, we haven't done our due diligence as a city and decided, you know what, we need to go hear from all these people in this neighborhood over here. We need to talk about this. We need to do something if this is what we're going to do. So my whole deal is this is something we're asking people to do, but we haven't done what you're saying we need to do. Well, then let's do it. If that's what you want to do, then let's do the hard job, let's talk about it, let's decide, or let's not decide, and let's go forward. But I don't want to hold up the Mayflower because of something. I know they're going to look at it, but I can't go that route. I'm all about walking. I walk on Aloma all the time, and I do take my life in my hands, and I understand it. But I will tell you that I don't want for us to say that this is going to happen when we haven't done whatever we need to do to make it happen.
Okay, let's open the floor to public comment. And we're wishing to address the commission on these two items before us.
Thank you. Mayor and commissioners, my name is Bob Marayo. I live at the Mayflower. I live in the villa area of the Mayflower. I will say, speaking with all of my neighbors about this discussion, you will not get any support from anyone at the Mayflower, not only in the villas, but also in the main building. One of our primary concerns is safety. We're in the Mayflower for that reason, or one of the reasons we're there. I think I appreciate what Commissioner Weldon is saying, and other commissioners, that you've got to look at someplace else. I don't want this going through my backyard. I will not feel comfortable having bikes go through my backyard, walkers go through my backyard, and where we sit in the villas, this will go right through our backyard. So please, look at your options. I would also say that our neighbors in back on those very narrow streets, I can't imagine them being in favor of having a bike path through that area. You've got to look along Loma and look on Lakemont, but please do not go through our property. And I'm speaking as a resident. I'm not speaking for the management of the Mayflower. They have a different issue to deal with in trying to satisfy your requirements so that we can build needed facilities there. But as a resident, this does not bode well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Morrow. Anyone else? Okay, we'll close the floor to public comment. We have two motions on the table, seconded. Let's have a vote. Cindy, please read the LDC.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner
Wilder? Yes. Mayor Leary? Yes. And on the zoning, please.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Wilder?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you. Okay. We have the naming policy ordinance. I thought this was done already.
This is the second reading.
Mr. Arteman?
Yes, sir. Ordinance number blank, an ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, adopting a naming policy for the city's library and event center, providing for authorization to the mayor and city manager with respect to such naming policy, making findings, providing for severability, non-codification, conflicts, and effective date.
Great. Second reading, folks. For a motion to approve. Okay, I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Thank you. Any discussion? Let's open up the floor to public comment. Anybody wishing to address the commission on this item? Now is your time. Seeing none, close the floor to public comment. Okay, you all ready to vote?
Yes, sir.
Cindy, please read the roll.
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner Welding?
Yes.
Fairly?
Yes. Thank you. Commission reports. Mr. Seidel.
Come back to me. There was something I was going to mention.
Just last time we did that, you took way too much time. Commissioner Sprinkle, it's only 5:30.
There's no football on tonight.
My kids eat early.
I don't really have anything tonight.
Okay, Commissioner Cooper. You're just back in Tallahassee.
Happy Valentine's Day. And one thing, the CRC public meetings. This is hard to believe, but the closest meeting to us of the scheduled meetings for their public input is going to be February the 19th at in Melbourne. Mm-hmm. And that's from 1 to 7 p.m. So if anybody's interested, I'll be happy to share any information, but that's a long way from home. They're avoiding Orlando.
Mr. Weldon.
Yes, just two things. One is a follow-up on the earlier discussion about the commission acting as one with regard to notifying the residents and encouraging them to contact their representatives in Tallahassee. Somebody mentioned an email. I'd be prepared to spend dollars on a citywide notice, frankly, if the commission is amenable to that.
May I?
Yeah.
Time, I think I'd like the city attorney to look at that issue, because I know there's some rules on the city spending money to advocate.
We can't do that?
No. I also think it's time.
That's another law that the state put out.
Yes, they did.
They did.
You cannot advocate on some law that we promote.
Pardon my language.
That's about what it says, yeah.
Okay. So that's the... That's a no-go?
Yeah, you may need to look at it.
It's a little squirrely, so if you want to do it, that's great. I'll be happy to check it and bless it, or say don't do it. But I got to look at the language of the statute.
Well, there isn't any interest, I don't think.
I think it would be interesting just to know, though, for future. So okay. If you wouldn't mind,
I'd like to know.
I do think
well.
A letter to our delegation is a good idea.
Yeah. The other comment was just to follow up on my notes from last time, the analysis of the electric rate structures that we have, and I wasn't suggesting that we immediately increase rates or decrease rates. I just thought it was an interesting observation in the context of a broad discussion that we've had up here for months and months, if not years, where there was the contemplation of borrowing more money to speed up the undergrounding that would have added, $12 million worth of interest costs, which don't buy any undergrounding, and the reality is that the structure of our pricing and the commitment made to our residents with regard to our pricing when we bought the system allows for some flexibility. And maybe it's not the whole enchilada, but the reality is that the policy we have over the last several years has been, what do we need to do to have $3.5 million left over so that we can put that much into undergrounding? I think there's some flexibility there that I'd be willing to go up a little bit, because it does accelerate the undergrounding. It gets us into a better position sooner with regard to the uncertainties of what electric utilization is going to be 5 or 10 years from now.
Sure.
And it also may create an opportunity that the citizens will really support in terms of not only are we increasing undergrounding, the pace of undergrounding, but we are setting ourselves up to be able to invest in the infrastructure down the road for other things once the underground is done. And some people may look at it just as a question of, oh, they're charging me $210 a month instead of $200 a month, but I think the larger perspective for the residents is appreciated by many, and that is they are making an investment in the future of their property and in the quality of life in Winter Park. And I think in that context, I'm open to discussing it. So I just throw that out there to see if anybody else is open to discussing it.
I'm open to discuss it. Mr. Seidel?
That reminded me of what I wanted to talk about.
Good. So you're to blame on this.
No. I figured it out before you even came over.
Well, can I just ask if we have a third? We can discuss it further if we have a third.
Yes, okay. Certainly. But we're
and I'm not sure what forum that takes. So
yeah, I don't know. Okay. We could turn over the concept
to the board,
to the utilities board,
sure.
See if they have any input on it, and they could suggest some thoughts in terms of what all that
Let's
means.
Let's do that.
Yeah, what
we're, Mr. Seidel.
So where I'm at with the undergrounding and trying to figure out the best way to get it as quickly as possible is, I had met with Dan. I think Dan just went for a month to help out
right.
One of
Thanks,
the islands,
Dan.
And Dan's back now. So I'm sure they appreciated his help down there. We were working on the design elements of all the systems, and I think we're certainly moving along at a good clip, and I like the way, since Dan's got in charge, we're seeing, I'm seeing personally a lot more action in certain places and things that are happening. So for me, it was one of those, let's get the design done so we can then have some real good solid cost estimates,
right.
And then debate the quickest way to cross the finish line,
right.
And then have those discussions. And I think,
I think we proved that. That's where we were last year, I think.
Right, and I wanted to get with Dan on the time frame for the design, and then we can kind of let everybody know, here's when we expect to have the designs, and then any other things you can think of or ideas to accelerate it in the meantime, kind of add those onto the pile. And
well,
then
I think we've kind of exhausted it at this point, but perhaps there's
we
a better
idea.
About
CRA.
So that's kind of why I don't want to necessarily get into the discussion just yet, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, hang on, folks, please.
That's why I didn't really want to get into the discussion just yet until we have some real solid numbers that we can debate. So it's
well, I appreciate that, Greg, but isn't that for Dan to offer to us? I mean, what's the variability in the numbers now, Dan? I mean, if you were to guess at what the next phase is going to be, how far off are you going to be, 5%? Or is it?
On the numbers of the contract, of the engineering, or the whole project?
The whole project. You've done enough now that you haven't.
I don't think there's an issue on the cost as much as just knowing the cost so you can plan the design. I think that's the issue.
Yeah.
And I'm having trouble getting these engineers that we're hiring to give me the designs in the appropriate time, Aaron. As a matter of fact, I'm meeting with them tomorrow morning to discuss their lack of.
So how much of the undergrounding engineering work is not done? Of the 100% that is yet to be completed?
I have 16 projects that remain, basically.
Yeah.
And of those 16 projects, I asked them to give me 8 in December.
That's what we approved. We discussed up there the engineering plan for half of it.
I've got one. And I put out the request to see if people are interested in bidding. I'll get with the first team to put out a RFQ or whatever. But right now, I'm not pleased with what I'm getting. If I'm meeting tomorrow, I've got two different firms that are giving me less than satisfactory.
Well, what you're saying is you won't be able to spend the money that you have unless you get what you need from these engineering firms.
I could do it. It would be inefficient, yes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm just trying to bring that efficiency to it. So he's keeping ahead of his current schedule. Yes. He's just not getting the advanced design work done.
Right.
And so that's what I want to help him figure out how to get that advanced design work done.
He's trying.
Yeah, thank you. It is an issue that we are working on. But like I said, tomorrow we're meeting the Lidos firm questions right now.
Yes. Anything else, Mr. Seidel?
No, that was it. I'll be shorter this time.
Well, that's an interesting observation, though, on this subject, because why do we send something to the Utility Advisory Board for input that we can't implement?
Yeah.
So are you telling us we can't implement more money at this point?
We'll get you that I need engineers to step up their pace. I'm trying to figure that out tomorrow.
But they're third-party people. That's not under our...
We're getting a fair price for this, so they should want to do it.
Yeah.
And my assumption was that they would be able to do this issue. That's what they told me. And now when I'm receiving the product, I'm getting it far too slow for what we need to do advancing more money. And I hope to fix that tomorrow. I don't have an answer for you today.
And maybe that should tell us something, too.
Yeah. Well, maybe you want to come back. Is it okay to ask Dan to come back with a report on
sure.
At the next meeting, maybe?
If you wouldn't mind updating us, Dan.
I would.
Good detail as to what you need and you know where the stumbling blocks are, and maybe we can.
Okay. Kurt, can I just get with you afterwards? I want to talk to you about the CRC and the governor. I need
Absolutely,
to get
sure.
get some points from you. Dan, I want to welcome you back from St. Croix. I don't think most of the people do know that you weren't down there on vacation. You were helping to rebuild the entire electrical infrastructure of the island. So thank you. We appreciate you going down there representing us and helping out. That was
feel good.
Really good. I don't notice a tan, so I'm guessing you're working a lot harder.
He's working outdoors.
I also want to, this is really important, what we've been talking about, the preemption, and what's going on in the state. We can't stress it enough. The press, the media has been trying to crack through and make it important to people. But I do think when elected officials go to Tallahassee, they forget that they represent us. Sometimes they get caught under leadership, party, or lobbyists, and it's like nothing we've ever seen before. It's blatant, and it's trying to take away.
It's damaging.
The one-size-fits-all tree policy for the entire state is absurd. CRAs is ridiculous. The CRAs, the majority of them are between cities and counties, and to have the state try to immerse themselves between us to say that they can better regulate them is again absurd because of some of the abuses in some CRAs elsewhere. But we have one of the most successful CRAs in the state. We are the poster child for good CRAs, and we are doing amazing work. And to think that because something happened in a county far away from here, we could be preempted and continue to do the good work is ridiculous. So tell your friends, tell your neighbors, write to your state legislatures. With that, folks, I'm done.
Mayor?
Happy Valentine's. Oh, Mr. Seidel,
yes.
You weren't done.
No. Well, you reminded me of something else.
My fault.
No, I forwarded the DOT scope for 1792, that advertisement's out. And so I forwarded that scope on to Randy, but it's the advertisement to start the design on...
For the FD&E?
For 1792.
The PD&E.
And, yeah, for 1792 and the improvements on 1792. And so I just want to make you all aware that that is out there. And
did you share that with us?
Yeah. I have not seen it, so well, thank you for
okay, getting it. Okay, it's like a 90-page scope. I told Randy the English starts on like page 50-something.
Okay. So. Engineer English or our English?
Your English.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, so I just have one more quick question.
You guys seem to forget how this goes.
I know, but this is all about what's happening in Tallahassee because it's not at all uncommon for them to throw a lot of things at us so
sure.
that we will just spit ourselves up and just fight when there's really just one thing they really
right.
want. There's really just one or two things they really want, but they love to watch us eat ourselves up down here and do all the things we do. So do we know, and I'm sorry, I don't deal with that anymore, I only deal with education, so what is it that they really want? Nobody really knows? What do you think? Well, I know the reelected part, but is there something you think they really want?
It's politics.
It's all about following the rules and making sure that you get in line. I don't think that's a terrible message, okay, that we need to send, that the people that are making these votes are making them because they're being told to make them. Because this is not just Florida. You don't have to look too far, guys, okay? So that is the message, is that we have become a group of people who by party vote the way we've been told to vote so that we can get whatever it is we need. And that's it's a really sad state that we're in.
There, and that was the message that came from a lot of people.
Well, that is what I think it is, but I still would like to think it's something else.
I obviously take these issues as seriously as all of us do. And I'll recount for the record here a conversation I participated in with Mr. Corcoran. Is he the head
Richard
of
Corcoran,
he's the speaker.
Who's running for governor.
Yeah.
Right. Just look at his ads right now.
He's the speaker. In this conversation, he very proudly commented on the Constitution says that the powers of the federal government are limited and those that are not designated to the federal government shall be designated to the states or assigned to the states, whatever the language is. He forgot the rest of that phrase, which says, or to the people, or and to the people. Mm-hmm. And so I got the strong impression that, from him personally, that he is very tied up in the power of the state.
Well, he was a former staff person who went on to be elected person. He started out as a staffer, and now he's doing that. So.
Well, I've said it on the record, so you know.
So I just want to keep in mind, people have been here a long time.
If you don't mind, just one thing really quick. I want you to know that Senator David Simmons is working very hard for the cities in Florida. He is the only one. I've got to tell you, he's in there doing his,
But he's also...
Okay, folks, we are adjourned. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.